You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So I'll tell you very quickly, had a brief conversation out in the newsroom with some of the handlers with Dr. Axel. And I said, that is the first time since Carl Bernstein was in this studio that we've gone an hour.
We don't do it very often.
No. And he goes, how do you determine that? And I said, well, I said,
if you're interesting.
If you're boring, you get one segment. If you're interesting, you get two. If you're really interesting, you get three. And if you completely blow our minds out, you get four.
I'll tell you this. There have been more times that I believe, you know, we've been doing this 14 years.
Almost 15.
Thousands and thousands of hours of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the guests that we hold and keep that long are historic in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
Tim, the author of the Vietnam book, The Lessons We Carry. Remember that?
Yeah.
When I think back, like
the guy who knew my dad,
he was an hour. You know, it's a lot of history where you're sitting here listening to somebody that has been through something or knows so much about something that
other people don't know
about. That other people might not know about.
Mm-hmm.
I love those stories. I love having Diane Houston in here talk about the history of Kansas City and stuff that you drive by every day that you don't know about.
You know, this exhibit, and we're not getting paid by Union Station. This is free. This is going to be a fantastic exhibit. And to George Westella, who was originally supposed to be in here, but may I say this about George? He can kind of overpower a room. So I'm kind of glad
George and me and you.
I'm kind of glad George couldn't make it today.
That's a lot of oxygen.
Because we needed Dr. Axel. And there were so many things about the Berlin Wall that I had no idea about.
Sometimes it's nice to listen to the experts.
Just let them talk. Let them talk.
About something that's so
now we'll take the mics back
in history.
Back to the idiots. Here we go.
It's
that's
our turn.
Enough of that.
All right, Doc. It's our turn.
Thank you, by the way, for the little piece of the Berlin Wall.
So what happened was that they came in and they gave Dana and me both a little piece of the Berlin Wall.
Is that the piece that you tinkled on?
I don't believe that.
When they handed it to me. Is
no,
this
I don't
the
think so.
Urine soaked?
I don't know. Take a sniff.
God.
Smells pee-free.
You ding-a-ling.
And so,
now, don't go to this exhibit and recreate that.
No,
please
I'm
do
going
not.
To, I'm not going to. But I gave my little piece to Sam.
Oh, okay.
And because I have a piece of the Berlin Wall at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it would be nice if Sam had his own little piece of the Berlin Wall.
I appreciate it.
It's a fascinating piece of history.
After that super sweet text you sent me this morning, I owe you more than that. You got me out of bed.
There you go.
When I wasn't feeling myself.
And from the text line, by the way, one more question. What happened after the wall came down? Did the country divide? What's the deal with East Berlin? The answer is it became Germany.
It unified.
Yes.
I believe in 1991, if I'm not mistaken, I may be off a little bit on that, but there were years where there was still an East Germany and East Berlin and a West Germany and a West Berlin. But over the course of the next, I believe, 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, there was a vote on reunification and all the Germans, majority of the Germans, voted in favor of reunification.
I mean, they're still dealing with a lot of their societal issues with East joining West. But yeah, what a tumultuous time that was right around 1990.
And then Dan said this during a break. This is true, and then we'll move on. He said 26 years is not that long. Now, it was if you were on the other side of that wall.
Sure it was.
You couldn't see your mother or your children or your spouses were split up. But historically, when you look back at all of the major snapshots in our time, Dan just walked in and he goes, you know, it 26 years, like, we have children that age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's been more than 30 years since it came down. And it's like, wow, that's...
It's been almost 40.
Wow.
We now have an update in the Kyle Busch story. His death certificate has been obtained by Us Weekly. Apparently, he had pneumonia for weeks. before he died. Yeah. It spiraled to fatal just 24 hours before his death when sepsis officially set in.
Bacterial pneumonia.
TMZ first reported that a 911 caller about a week and a half before his death said that Bush was seen coughing up blood and struggling to breathe, laying on a bathroom floor.
So the one thing I will say.
Somebody wants to know if we can rename the show Dana and Wallpecker.
And I said, that's a brilliant idea.
All right, Wallpecker.
Fact. I second and third that motion.
I am a Wallpecker.
I want to see that on a t-shirt.
When Dr. Axel dropped that line, I was like, oh my gosh, that's the greatest thing I've ever, that's just a great little nugget I'm going to carry with me forever.
For those who missed it in the last hour.
Oh my gosh.
The Germans call people who used to
No. Back up. Scott said to the good doctor, is it true that people pee on the wall? And then he just goes, because I did. And
we all did.
The head of the Berlin Wall Foundation said, yeah, we call
them you Wallpeckers.
Wallpeckers. God. Back to
That's
Kyle Busch.
Call sign.
Sam, I told you this in the newsroom. More people have come up to me to talk about the interview we had yesterday with the good doctor and pulmonologist from the University of Kansas Health System.
Stephen Simpson.
He stayed with us for a segment and explained what sepsis is. It's not what I thought it was. Mm-hmm. How it kills you when it's really trying to help you.
Yeah, I found that rather interesting.
I thought
and bizarre.
I always thought she got the sepsis. She went in for an operation, got an infection, got the sepsis. He explained that sepsis is not what kills you. Sepsis is your body's response.
Your white blood cells.
To an infection.
Correct.
Goes bonkers.
Mm-hmm. You're basically overloading the circuit.
Trying to save you. And in that, your organs start shutting down. Here's what we never really got. I don't think there's a good answer to this question that I asked. How do you go from being perfectly healthy one day to, I think I have a sinus infection, to dead? And here's why I asked that, Scott, and I ask it again. No one with a sinus infection, Kyle Busch or otherwise, he's a perfectly healthy, built like a you-know-what. Like
he's an
athlete. He is an athlete. No one with a cold is going to go, I really need to get to the ER. We really need to get a chest x-ray. God knows he would have, knowing what we know now. He's got access to the best medical personnel probably in the world.
Sure.
But a good indication of needing to seek higher level of care.
But how many of us would, Dan? And the answer is so
blood.
No. A week out, yes. But I mean in the 3 weeks leading up, in the 2 weeks leading up, we've all had bad colds or you think it's strep. And you know what you do? You go to CVS and you go see a doc in the box and they do a strep test up your nose and they go, no, your strep's negative, but there's some crud going around. Here's an antibiotic. Yeah. 99.9% of us would do exactly that and we'd be dead if it was sepsis.
That pneumonia.
What is pneumonia, by the way?
Fluid in your lungs. That's why doctors, when they listen to you, they can hear it in the thing.
Which was causing severe coughing, which caused clotting, which caused
the body
sepsis.
To go, oh, yeah. Let's ramp this up because
pneumonia
someone is super sick.
Is an infection. It inflames the air sacs in your lungs.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. All right, you know I love these little things I find on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Lay it on me.
I need you to write these down.
Oh, gosh.
There's only
no
geography at all. It's golf.
Good. Oh, yeah, I'm in.
There's only four.
Okay.
You can only pick one.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
5,000 for every birdie.
Okay.
$500 for every bogey. I have no idea what that means.
Whatever.
1,000 for every round you play.
Oh, I'd be a millionaire.
Or $1,000,000 to never golf again.
1,000 for every round we play.
Okay.
Hands down. I don't like these hypotheticals. Because it does make you think, okay, which one would I do? Like the sports guys today were like, if you could pick one, KU wins the World Series of Baseball, or, and I don't even remember what the or was, but I wasted 30 seconds of brain power thinking about it, and I go, KU to the World Series.
Do you want $1 million right now or a penny every day for the rest of your life?
Well, it's actually more if you take the penny every day.
I do not believe that is correct.
You are wrong.
You do not live a million days.
If you are if you start investing and you put a penny away a day, hasn't any banker ever showed you that amortization schedule where one penny turns into two, turns into six, and then you wake up and you're $1 million?
Math is hard, Sam.
I'm telling you, it's $1 million.
No.
If you invest it, yes, it is.
A penny a day, first of all, you would have to live to be 100 million years old.
No, I'm telling you, maybe it's a dollar a day. I think it's a penny. Well, this segment brought to you by UMB Private Wealth Management.
$100 million. And she is correct.
A penny a day?
When it comes to compounding interest.
About compounding? Yes.
If you do your investments correctly. I was just trying to.
One penny per day.
Make the joke. I didn't expect to break it down.
No, I want to break it down because I've always told my kids, if you just start saving a penny a day, you'll be a millionaire.
No, you won't.
Would you rather have $1 million in cash right now?
Or a penny a day?
Or a single penny that doubles in value every day for 30 days. You end up with Well, it's a lot of money.
Oh, boy.
It's a lot of money.
By the number of commas there?
It's $5,368,000 on day 30.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Scott, this is why you've got so much money in your 401k. Because it goes.
Because I don't spend it.
It starts out down here, and then it goes here, and then it starts compounding, and then it gets bigger, 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 bigger.
Your philosophy that you're discussing right now is correct.
Yeah.
The way you're describing it is horribly incorrect. That is not why your 401k grows. It's if you'd got a penny on day one.
My head is hurting.
That value doubled every day.
Oh, yeah. My God, my brain.
It's $5 million on day 30.
Not day 30.
I'm looking right at it.
Dana, if you took a penny and doubled it every day.
Yeah.
So one day you have a penny. And then tomorrow you have two pennies.
Well, I don't mean you take them and you throw them in a drawer. No, you have to invest it.
Pennies.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
You don't have $5 million.
You don't take 30 pennies and throw them in a drawer and then open the drawer the next day and there's $1 million in the drawer.
What is the only U.S. state that borders one state?
Maine. You guys are making my head hurt. It's one penny day one. Two pennies day two.
Four pennies day three.
Eight,
16. 32.
For the love of God.
And then
God.
You wake up and you've got $5 million. I know what I'm talking about.
Okay. What do we got? Anything else?
No. That's it.
How many states have an A?
A lot.
How many states don't?
Scott, a single penny doubled every day for 30 days results in $5,368,709.12.
How many peninsulas do we have in the U.S.?
Just admit you're wrong. Just say I'm wrong, and you're right, and we can move on.
We can go with at least two.
If we're going on fact, you're both wrong.
Three? No. There's also the one up by Virginia. This is the dumbest radio show in the history of radio shows.
We educated so many people from three to four.
Last hour was
we just took a gigantic step backwards. One fell swoop, it all came down.
Here are the safest cars for your teenager.
Toyota Camry.
No.
Really?
Nope.
Honda something?
Are you just throwing out makes and models now?
No, Toyota and Honda are always up there in safety.
Mid-sized car?
Yeah.
The Nissan Maxima.
The good old Nissan. Mm-hmm. Looks like the new Ferrari.
So I think this takes affordability into account. I think affordability has a higher metric than safety.
Sure, because otherwise, the Cadillac would be safe, but no one's going to buy it for the teenager.
Yeah, otherwise these would be all Subarus.
And a Mercedes is built like a tank. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, of course.
So... if we're going with medium price cars, so we're saying just under 20 grand. Small cars, the Mazda 3.
Okay.
Midsize, the Nissan Maxima. Large car, the Genesis G80. I thought Genesis was an expensive car.
Those are the cars that look like Cadillacs, but they're not.
I think Shonda drives a Genesis. Small SUVs, Mazda CX-5.
Okay.
Mid-size SUV, the Mazda CX-9.
G80, by the way, you can get a used one for $20,000.
I don't think you can get many things. Car-wise, did you hear this year was the year for a new one? The median or mean, I don't remember, has hit $50,000 for the first time.
$50,000 for a car?
If you go brand new, which you shouldn't ever do.
I've never done that.
Yes. Can we go back to golf for a minute? And it's golf adjacent, I promise. The wife of a former U.S. Open champion was rushed to the hospital this week after she was attacked by their family dog. Horrible headline, but wait until you hear how he responded. It's Mark Calcavecchia, I think, has revealed his wife required hospital treatment after she was bitten by the couple's dog. He shared the news on social media with a photo that I'm going to warn you before I show it. And here's what he wrote with the caption of his wife's face. Well, blank. Our cray-cray Jack Russell decided to take a bite out of Brenda face at Z time. Unexpected trip to the hospital. Not good. She was sleeping.
Ooh.
Scott, a Jack Russell their dog attacked her face while she was sleeping. The last thing the story says is, no word on what's going to happen to the dog. Isn't that a little flippant? If a dog attacked your wife in the middle of the night,
dog's going down.
He wrote, our cray-cray Jack Russell Terrier.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, there would not be a dog in our house if that happened. Do they have grandchildren?
So if Birdie attacked Johnny,
while we were sleeping, attacked his face,
you would put Birdie down.
We would rehome, yes.
You would rehome?
We would rehome.
Or put Birdie down?
We would rehome.
Who would take the dog?
I don't know. I would try to rehome first.
Huh.
I definitely wouldn't be like, our cray-cray dog ripped Johnny's face off. I'm like, I feel like you're missing an LOL there. And this is, like, I've seen her face. I don't know that I would LOL that.
Well, now, I love Lizzie. You know that. I love that dog dearly. And she is so dumb and so lovable. If she attacked anyone...
Yeah, you just
if she attacked me or T or one of the girls,
it's over.
Lizzie's going to the Rainbow Bridge. I get everybody who says, I got a fur baby, blah, blah, blah. It's like a family member. It is a family member. It is. But you know who doesn't bite my face? Sarah.
Yeah.
And Maya.
Thank God.
Those little yippy dogs will get you. Jack Russell Terrier.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie the Third. My name is Scott Parks. Hey, if you miss a segment, be sure to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. All right, just one more list, then I'm moving on.
Okay.
Lay it on me.
The top five most obese states in the union and the top five thinnest states in the union.
You know obese is Mississippi and Alabama.
You got two of them.
And
don't forget Louisiana.
Probably you got Louisiana. Three of them. Probably one of the Virginias.
Which one?
West.
Bingo. Fattest.
Jinx.
Yep.
Georgia.
No.
Arkansas.
Yep. You got them all.
All right. Fittest is a little harder. I always want to go California, Colorado.
California comes in at number six. Colorado comes in at number one.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Washington State.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be up there.
13th.
Oregon. All of those fit people live up there.
No.
Arizona, Utah.
No. Utah's number nine.
Northeast, New York.
I wouldn't say New York. I would say Maine or New Hampshire.
What'd you just say?
New Hampshire.
No, 12.
Vermont.
Five.
It ain't any in the Midwest. Rhode I know Island? It's not.
11. No, it's...
No.
Other than Colorado.
Swing and a miss.
Is Arizona on there?
So I don't have the entire list. I have 36 through 50 and 1 through 15. Arizona does not appear on the list.
Okay.
Kansas, by the way, 44th fattest state in the union.
Heyo.
So you're saying we're not last.
we're climbing.
Well, no, that means we're the sixth.
No, we're actually, we're not climbing.
We're doing good.
Come on, you got Vermont and you got Colorado.
Maine.
Montana.
Number 10.
Any of those cattle wrangling, rustling places that are wide open.
Not even close if you're in the top five.
Indiana.
Man, you guys are swinging and a missing.
Illinois.
I got nothing.
All right.
No.
Number 5, Vermont.
Okay.
With an obesity rate of 29%. Number 4, shocker, New Jersey.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Number 3, Hawaii. Number 2, Massachusetts. And number 1, Colorado.
I knew Colorado was going to be up there.
Mm-hmm. But all of the
southern states
are the fatties.
Love that fried food.
Boy, they sure do.
I remember my uncle said to me once, I came out of a casino. I was there with my mom, my grandpa, and my uncle so many years ago. And I said, oh, my God, there's all of these needles, like the needle receptacles.
Oh, diabetes.
In the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And this was way back, like, this would have been in the early 2000s or late 90s when I was visiting. And so I go, like, is it drugs? Is and my uncle looks at me and he goes, Dana, they put gravy on their pizza down here. It's diabetes.
Diabetes.
I said, oh, yeah. I'm like, how many drug users can there be that you're putting these things in casinos?
What is it about the South? And I'm being serious because...
fried green tomatoes, fried shrimp, fried fish.
I smell you.
I mean, it's...
Everything's fried. I get it.
I try really hard when I go down there because you can eat almost calorie-free when you go down there. You just eat shrimp and fish. The problem is when you start adding the hush puppies and the mac and cheese and the everything, all of the sides down there,
Waffle House.
Fried okra will kill you.
Well, yep. It really wasn't that bad for you when we were using natural things to fry things in.
You know, my grandma would agree with you. My late grandmother.
Beef tallow.
Beef tallow. I put that on my face.
What is beef tallow?
It's rendered beef fat.
You put that on your face?
Every single day and night. I'm telling you, I'm a huge fan. And I'm not a fan because some hoity-toity stupid person in Hollywood started doing it, I will have you know. I started buying beef tallow 5 years ago for my face.
Beef tallow is, yes, hippie lotion, and it's incredible. It's also far better for you for eating, but we decided years ago that red meat killed people, and so we switched over to petroleum-based canola oil.
One of
because
my
that's better for
favorite
you.
Restaurants down south in the Biloxi area sells, they cook everything in tallow.
Yeah.
Their biscuits, oh my God, their biscuits, Scott. They bring these biscuits to the table, and you just hook me up to a, like, you know, it's that good.
What does it sound like?
You can buy the beef tallow there to cook in. I've never done that. But then they add lavender and eucalyptus to it, and you can use it for your face. And it's whipped tallow. And my kids think it's the weirdest thing ever. I'm like, you girls, if you started this, you would become addicted to eucalyptus tallow.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. The acne problem in this country would go away.
And when one is not at the beef tallow store, where does one find beef tallow?
Well, now, because some ding-a-ling influencer people in Hollywood started yakking about it, it's expensive now.
Oh.
You can cook up a bunch of beef, save the fat, render it down, strain it, render it down, strain
it. Rub it all over your face.
Repeat like 40 times, and you're there. You got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Scott, the food in the South is so damned good. I'm sure it is.
So good.
I'm sure it is.
Gumbo.
And everybody down there is fat. Facts.
We are trying to figure out when we can get back down there to see mom and dad. I don't know when. Scott, I don't know. October, December.
Why don't you go before that?
Because I have a child moving to Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that your responsibility?
Well, I can't have her going. She's the one moving to Connecticut away without her mother. I'm going to at least, I don't know that I'm going to move her in, but I think I'll go like maybe 2 weeks after she's settled before school starts.
Oh, no.
Why?
You're going to be like Douglas MacArthur's mom, aren't you?
She wants us to help move her.
You know,
we
are
driving. Do you know how long that drive is? It's like 19,000 hours.
You know, when General Douglas MacArthur went to West Point in, I believe it was the late 20s, early 30s, his mom was such a helicopter mom that she moved into an apartment right across the street from West Point.
Well, I wouldn't do that.
And stayed there for 4 years.
If one of your children left Kansas City.
They just did.
To start a new life, like to plant down stakes for a while in a different state that is nowhere near us, you would absolutely help move them in. Oh my gosh.
You guys hear that?
Maybe. I just want to go leaf peeping, and I'll just pop in and see her while I'm peeping leaves.
V, I'm coming in!
Clear!
Like, Maya, when she graduates, is going to move to either Atlanta or Charlotte.
Has she narrowed it down to those two? Is that because there's hubs there? Okay.
Exactly.
Tell her to go Charlotte. Do not go Atlanta.
I know. I agree. Don't go to Hotlanta. Go to Charlotte.
Go to Charlotte.
Yep. But do you think I'm moving to Charlotte or
Hotlanta?
No, but
you certainly would help her get settled, wouldn't you? She's going to ask you to do that. I'm just telling you right now.
She just flew off to Madrid.
That's different. That's a trip. That's a vacation. That's not your life.
That's not a vacation. She's gone for 3 months.
You digress.
Trust no one. The last words I said to her today.
We have an update out of Pleasant Hill. I don't want to make this a topic. I'm just passing along the update. This is the absolute loon who opened fire on that poor woman that was just grocery shopping and a 16-year-old kid trying to get the carts back in the cart corral.
Yeah.
Cass County court records show the man who allegedly shot two people outside of the Pleasant Hill Price Chopper was out on bond and not supposed to possess firearms. You might be wondering, why was he out on bond? What did he do? Let me tell you, 27-year-old Alan Prince of Pleasant Hill is now charged with one count of first-degree murder, 3 counts of armed criminal action, 2 counts of first-degree assault following the shooting on Memorial Day. He is in the ICU after trying to harm himself and failing. So Channel 5 has this story. He apparently had one of his family members back in 2025 called sheriff's deputies to their rural home and said basically he was threatening them. A family member, Scott, said, "We are afraid of him. He is threatening to shoot us because we're being too loud in our own home." So they said, "Look, we don't know what to do. His mental health is in the toilet. He needs help. It's gotten worse over the last several years." And you guys know this story. We talk about this on the show all the time. If you are trying to get an adult who doesn't think they need help, what are you supposed to do? So he then starts threatening family. Family calls the sheriff. They arrest him. He was due in court on
Arrest him on what?
Because he literally threatened to kill his entire family.
Okay.
And they were like, "We don't know what to do. Come get him. He's a danger, we believe, to himself. He's a danger to us." And what is he, like 30, Sam?
He's in his 30s, yeah.
I feel so bad, I really do, for any mom and dad who have tried to navigate a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
When you are so afraid of someone that is your own child, that person should not be roaming around amongst us.
And what do you do with them?
I don't know. They can't keep him in jail forever.
You can't involuntarily commit someone.
They gave him a pat on the head and kicked him out and said, "We'll see you in court in a few weeks. Don't go near any guns." And then he goes and kills this poor mom at a Price Chopper.
Let me ask you this.
I would be furious if I were a family.
Do we start going back to involuntary confinement? And who gets to decide?
Have you seen his mugshot? He's Exhibit A. He goes straight to the loony bin.
We're sending him straight to Osawatomie.
Straight to Osawatomie.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. But we're super excited because on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, 3:15 actually, we're going to have in studio Kathy Nelson, the CEO of the Kansas City Sports Commission, and someone who is near and dear to my heart, Dr. Rick.
Okay, this is a freezer, not a time capsule.
Sometimes the house itself can tell you how a young homeowner is turning into their parents.
Not those two.
Yep, they're gone.
Forever?
Yep.
That there is Progressive's Home Quote Explorer website where I compared home insurance rates.
We don't need to print the internet. Some are beyond help. I will give you $100 if you can tell me what this is.
Scotch egg.
It's a meatball.
Progressive can't help you from becoming your parents, but we can help you compare rates on home insurance with Home Quote Explorer.
We've got a lot of work to do.
Bill Glass, Dr. Rick will be joining us in studio at 3:15 on Friday afternoon. It's on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. So we'll bring it to your attention from BBC News. The White House has begun construction on a UFC fighting cage on the South Lawn ahead of next month.
I'm going to stop you right there because when I saw the headline, I thought this has to be a joke.
Let me show you the picture.
This has to be a joke. I thought it was The Onion.
This is the Wall Street Journal, the most serious newspaper in the country. Tell me what you see on the front page.
It's a gigantic, looks like a roller coaster slash cage.
Those are the lights.
It looks ridiculous. Why are we MMA fighting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Help me understand this.
How else do you celebrate Flag Day?
Got it.
I'll continue.
I don't have anything to add to that conversation. You guys asked for it. You're getting exactly what you asked for.
250 years of American independence, workers were seen assembling domed arches and a staging area, which, based on online renderings, will form an octagon-shaped ring surrounded by a wire mesh fence and thousands of temporary seats.
Okay.
That is how you do a UFC fight.
It is being dubbed UFC Freedom 250.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah!
UFC says they're going to spend about $60 million on the project. There will be two championship title fights.
When the freedom is ringing.
Ring the bell.
One must ring.
Did you know the best young spellers in English are competing at the Scripps National Spelling Bee this week?
Ooh, challenge me.
Continuing a more than century-old tradition, the three-day competition actually began Tuesday. It concludes tomorrow night. First B was held in 1925. And by the way, does ESPN have that today? Because I'd much rather be watching that than whatever they're yakking about on CNN.
We can find out.
First B was held in 1925 when the Louisville Courier-Journal invited other newspapers to host spelling bees and then send their champions to Washington. Let's see. One change for this year. ESPN NFL analyst and recent Celebrity Jeopardy champion Mina Kimes has joined the Bee as its television host. Okay. This is only the 98th Bee. Would you care to guess the only 2 years the Bee was canceled?
2020?
No.
Oh.
2 years.
When did it start?
Way before
1925.
Yes.
I'm going to go
44 and 45.
43 to 45 was canceled because of World War II. And you were right once again in 2020 because of COVID-19. This year's champion then will be the 111th because the Bee ended in a two-way tie several times. And in 2019, it ended in an eight-way tie.
Really?
Nerds.
30, this is just passing on a fun fact, 30 of the past 36 champions, 30 of the past 36 have been of Indian heritage. Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that to me?
Nope.
Okay. You want to try?
Nope.
Do you think because it might come across as racial
insensitive? No, I'm just saying, I'm reading the story from ABC News that 30 of the past 36 champions have been of Indian heritage. We have had several local champions of Indian heritage.
That is correct.
Good luck to all the children.
Yes. Good luck.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.